Welcome back to the Music Industry Podcast. Today we are joined with Adam Reed, an editor at Deezer. Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. I think, first of all, it might be good to sort of explain what Deezer is for people that may not know and what your job actually entails.
Of course. So Deezer is a music streaming service. Mm-hmm. We go out to more countries than any other streaming service, so your Apples, your Spotify's, etc. I would say that our key markets compared to the others are the non-English speaking markets. As much as we prioritise the UK and the US, it's very much France, Germany, Latin America, Brazil, etc., etc. And in my job itself, I'm a music editor. So that means I'm responsible for playlists and content in the UK and Ireland. And I also have an additional hat, which is being responsible for global indie and alternative content for Deezer, which is a very intense job. It's a very incredible job that I feel very fortunate to have. But yeah.
Cool. I mean, you're probably one of the most in-demand people in the music industry. People always want to get hold of you.
It's very weird. Like, a lot of people, when I get to speak to them, always want to corner me and be like, what's streaming like? It's really dark and spooky. And I'm get to listen to music and curate music for fans of music. That's always been my passion since I discovered that it was a job opportunity. You don't feel like that in the job that we're in. We don't feel like, because a lot of people use the term gatekeeper, and I really don't. I couldn't feel further from it. My job is to curate music experiences for our users. It's not to be some big dog that dictates what artists are going to break. It's very much understanding what our users want and curating content for them that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure your goal is to basically keep people on the platform, get as many people as possible. So really, it's kind of having artists that people recognise on playlists. Is that the case?
Not always. It's very much understanding what the users listen to and what they want, and also thinking about what they're going to want as well, because obviously you can look at things such as the top genres that people listen to, and then you can look at the top artists, and then you listen to newer artists and you know they've got a similar sound to artist X, and you know that will work for them. But at the same time, you can also try and predict what you think they're going to listen to as well. So that could be a different genre. You could see something bubbling up, like for example, at the moment it's that sort of bedroom pop indie world that is starting to really explode. Clairo's just broken the top 100 in the US, that sort of thing, that you can start going all in with these artists into a wider audience that may not have heard them yet, but you know it's going to break. And I mean that also from like the type of playlist we curate as well. So it could be that you want a playlist, they might not realise they want a playlist for brunch, or it could be that they need a nighttime playlist just to help them get through and help them get to sleep. All these different things that they didn't think that they would need, we need to be ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. What are you looking for in an artist in order to put them on a playlist as soon as an artist comes to you? What kind of things do you look at?
So it depends on the playlist. So it depends on what my target audience is for that playlist. So it could be a young male, 21, into a bit of alternative R&B and indie, and then it's listening to the music, and then after doing this for a little while, you have, it's very strange, but you have an instinct on where that playlist will go. So I have a massive document that I work through every week, and I listen to the track and I go, okay, that could work in there, and then I just build my way up that way. In terms of understanding an artist, it depends on the playlist that I'm trying to curate, because sometimes it doesn't actually, and I don't mean this in an offensive way at all, it doesn't matter about the artist itself, it's about the song. Mm-hmm. And it could be for, say, an acoustic mood playlist, it might be the artist's first ever track, but it works perfectly for an acoustic chill playlist. When it comes to, you know, there are some more artist first playlists, such as one I've launched globally called Anti, which is very much, you know, genre bending type artist. I'm looking at the artists themselves and what they're trying to build and the sound they're trying to build, and then I'll almost take a bit more of a punt because I believe in where they're going. But it really varies on the type of content that I'm curating.
Our artists have quite a thing about their first release, and they say that this is my first release. Am I going to struggle to get onto playlists, for example? Is it going to hinder an artist's opportunity to get on a playlist if it's just their first release, or is it just equal for them all?
For me, and I think the other DSPs have this, we have a central submission file or sort of form that we will all work through, and it tries to even the playing field out. Because if you're with label X, people may think that you can supersede someone coming through a distributor, but we try to make it as much of a level playing field as possible and listen to the music and understand where they're trying to go with their sound. And then again, and again, if it fits a playlist, it might be that I think this artist is brilliant, but it just doesn't work for any of the playlists that I have. We have an editorial network around the world, and it might be the case that, for example, in the UK, there's a few artists that are channeling their almost Latin inspirations to create sort of a reggaeton hybrid sound. Now, for the UK audience, it's probably a bit harsh, but I can go to the equivalent of me in Mexico, Brazil, and go, this might work for you in sort of an entry-level reggaeton playlist, and they can go and add them there.
Mm. So do you kind of like look at a playlist and then look at the data on it, on like the average listener, and then pair the artist with that average listener?
So when I curate a playlist or when I launch a playlist, I have an idea of the type of user I'm trying to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll look at the type of music that's being consumed by a certain age group or a certain gender, et cetera, and then build propositions around that. So it's almost like when you have a marketing brief and you're like, who are we trying to hit? So if you wanted to hit a younger person, you might advertise differently to someone that you're trying to hit who's a bit older and maybe just does their weekly shops and things like that. It's the same with a playlist. It's like, okay, who are we trying to hit? And then once you've got that idea, you'll look at the data and the data will tell you whether this playlist is working or not, or whether you need to think about how you're promoting it. It could be that we need to do some more promotion within the app. It could be through social media. It could be maybe even outdoor marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to hearing an artist, it's very much, so it almost goes through a weird filter in my mind and going, okay, that could go here, or that could go here, or it might be that I've got a playlist in the pipeline that I think that could work for, so I'll hold it back and then add it to that playlist when it goes mm-hmm. live. It really varies from case to case. I think people need to realise that streaming has democratized it, the game, in my view anyway, because it allows us to discover artists that could have made something in their bedroom they didn't think anything of, and it's actually a brilliant song, and we will discover it either through an algorithm or data on our side, or we'll just through the submission and go, right, let's go with it,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you would have had back in the day when those gatekeepers that we were alluding to, which it was a bit more networky based.
Yeah. So do you sort of have like an algorithm on Deezer which you'll see a track really picking up attention and you're more likely to playlist that because users are really enjoying it?
So we all have algorithms and data portals that look at tracks that are building in certain age data sets and everything like that. And that, it, you know, we try and listen to as much music as we can, but obviously, I mean, the amount of music that's getting uploaded these days, sorry, is incredible.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to lean on our data portals to then go, okay, this track is starting to blow. It could be because of a TikTok trend. And then we see it again on our side. It could be anything. It could be a sync that's blown up. It could be it was in a film. So we have lots of charts and tracking mechanisms that flag to us tracks that are moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the numbers off the top of your head to what is uploaded to Deezer every single day or month?
I know it keeps growing. I think it might be about 15,000 a day.
15,000 wow. a day.
That's insane. So for you, what makes an artist stand out? Is it just this track is amazing? Is it their whole brand is solid? They've got great social media content. Is it a bit of a mix? What do you find?
I'd say it's a mix. Mm-hmm. For me, the most important word I always say is authenticity. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the most important thing in 2020, because you build your audience online. They believe in you because they have an authentic connection with you. It's the same with the music. If you believe in that artist, it might be from a almost like a strange gut instinct, I might be more willing to give them a punt, if you mm-hmm. know what I mean. But also, the proposition in itself can be great, but if the music is not there, then there's nothing we can work with.
Yeah.
Because you can have sort of an authentic connection. It might even be from a sort of a YouTube vlogger type space, and you can sing quite well. So you've got an audience, but it might not, from a song by song perspective, work for me in a playlist, and you can just get loads of streams that way.
Mm.
So it always comes back to the tracks. It always comes back to the music. A, is it good? B, does it work for any playlist that I see fit? And C, is the audience there to then justify me pushing it into a different space to grow them even further?
I actually might end up trying to push you to contradict yourself here.
but
is there ever been an external influence where you just have to find a place for a track on a playlist. So, for example, it goes viral on TikTok or it hits the charts and you just have to find that spot. Do you find these external influences are making people get onto playlists?
I think it can't, I know this is going to make me sound like a broken record, but it just depends on the track. Like a really good example of this is Ash Nico, right? I think she just broke the top 30 in the UK. But that sort of sound that you hear, you would never expect to be a chart hit. But it's because she's got a really engaged audience and people are picking off the track here and there. And we're not sure whether it's... But people outside of it, sorry, are not sure on that sound. They might find it really harsh. And that means that a label would... Because we have conversations with these labels all the time. And a label might be like, look, this track's breaking top 30 or top 20, or it might be that it's had a moment on TikTok. But I might be like, look, this doesn't work for this certain genre playlist or certain sound because of what these users want. That doesn't mean that this artist isn't going to be successful and have an incredible career. It's just for a specific set of playlists that I look after, it might not be editorially applicable. That said, we're always looking at more and more opportunities in the playlist space. So growing our playlist pools, looking at these sort of multi-genre style of playlists and thinking about the types of users and how they listen to music and then curating content for them. And that's where, I mean, TikTok is a fascinating beast and I'm sure we could talk hours upon end about it. But some of these tracks will blow up because of 15 seconds. And that doesn't mean it works for traditional streaming. Because we're trying to curate an experience for the user. And if that 15 seconds of a song is the thing that's hooking someone in, that's not going to work for us. Because we want them to listen to the whole track, ideally, and just listen back, lean back and take it all on board. So it really does vary in terms of how it's blown up, where it's come from and everything like that.
In terms of the end user, is there an order for the playlist? How do you decide what order the tracks come in? Do you have a listen on how they flow into each other, or is it popularity?
It's a bit of both, and it's also how the tracks are performing. I always want to make sure we've got a good flow within the playlist, because you don't want to, you will have the odd moment. If it's like a hit playlist, it might be a harsh song from a softer song. It may happen eventually, but it's always trying to make the experience as pleasant for the user as possible. And I always find that if you're naturally transitioning tracks that have, not saying a similar tempo, but just a similar vibe, and it feels like a perfect experience, then that will work. You have to just take into account where these users may be listening to it, how they're listening to it, and then you can curate accordingly. If you're on a hit playlist, like say our biggest playlist in the UK is called Deezer Hits, you have to take into account what's the most streamed, what's the most engaged track within that, and then they're almost more important, and then the flow comes a little bit after. Whereas maybe in a slightly more mid-tier sort of genre playlist, we can look at the flow a bit more and the users will connect to these tracks anyway.
We've heard a lot of artists in the last couple of years saying they're actually changing their writing process to sort of work with the streaming platforms a bit. And I mean, one of the biggest artists to do this is Charlie XCX. She says she gets her chorus, puts it in earlier, kind of makes it work with these algorithms more. Do you think it's a good idea, or do you think it's sort of, like you said, you've got to be authentic? Do you think it kind of ruins that a little bit?
Okay. There's two sides to me on this. I know you've got to play, you have to sort of play the game a little bit. I'm not saying that artists should do it. I can understand why they would do it. For me, I think create a good song, the song's going to shine. I understand why you would do it, especially where you see these sort of rap tracks where it's like the chorus is at the start and then it's after about 40 seconds, then a minute 20, and the song's wrapped up after about 2 minutes, 20 seconds, and you've had four choruses. I think you've just got to focus on making a good song. And I mean, if the intro is 2.5 minutes, we might have an issue. I'm just being honest. But if you're just focusing on creating a good song, it's going to shine through anyway. I understand Charlie's point. But I would say, well, she's an incredible songwriter and one of the most talented writers of our generation. She can almost create a great song, even though she's technically trying to flip it by putting the chorus at the front and everything like that. Unless you're at that level, her part in her career, I'd probably say just focus on making a really good song and then you can work your way from there.
How do artists submit to be considered for a Deezer playlist?
So you have to go through your distributor. So any distributor that you use will have submission forms to get in, say, my eye line and the rest of the editor's eye lines. Mm-hmm. We have an artist and label services team called Artist Marketing who spend every minute of every day communicating with those distributors, labels, managers, the lot, and talk about the releases and where they're going with these projects and everything like that. And then they will talk to us about these releases as well, and it will go in harmony with the submission form that I've received. Mm. And that's how these artists get in the eyeline. We normally ask for some additional information on the record. So it could be your live plot, it could be what radio support you've had, et cetera, et cetera. You can put all that in as well. And I think that's the same with every other DSP as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned like radio support and things. Mm. Do those things impact it? Because if you see that since she's getting radio play, it's getting some maybe media coverage, do those things show to you that there's potential there already for the artist?
Yeah. Yeah, it can have a... I'm always looking to discover new music, whether that's through my job, but also just consuming music outside of my job and like listening to all the radio stations, reading online publications, everything like that. From a music fan's perspective, I'm always just looking to discover. In terms of the job, you will see certain moments when a radio play has had an effect. Mm-hmm. You will see those spikes, and you know, people will see when you Shazam it and everything like that, when it will link back to streaming. And mm-hmm. that is why, as much as you're trying to get on these playlists and or focusing on getting on playlists and just getting everything right in streaming space, radio and everything like that can have a massive effect as well, because obviously you're discovering it in this space, and you might save the track to your phone, you might write a little note down and then go back and stream it. And we mm-hmm. see those spikes all the time where it has mm-hmm. a real difference.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look for longevity in an artist? So, for example, being able to see that they've got good things coming up, because you've only got a certain number of spots on a playlist. You don't want to give it to an artist who might just release a song and then give up and go back to university. So is it something you want to actually see where they are developing and do have potential?
It is very useful to know what they're building toward, even if they're just building towards an EP and say it's within, I don't know, 10 weeks' time. As you said, there's so many tracks that we go through, we can't add everything. It's not possible. There's so much amazing music that we can't add to playlists. And I feel really bad, but at the same time, that can still be discovered in so many different ways. When we know that there's something happening in up to 10 weeks' time, could be a tour, as I said, an EP, that gives us a bit of leeway, because I have sort of holding buckets and things like that where I'll go, okay, I might not be able to add it this week, but maybe in 2 weeks' time when it's a slightly quieter week, could be because the number of releases are slightly lower in terms of the top level, I can add this track this week. So it's always good to know what you're building towards. And also it helps me in terms of how I build it through the playlist as well. So if I know they're working towards, like I said, the tour, then it might be that I build it over 6 weeks and I know that I'm going to try and get as high as possible within playlist X in 6 weeks' time to hopefully, if the data allows me to, bounce off what they're doing outside of the product.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You mentioned earlier that you don't really see yourself as a gatekeeper. I mean, I think a lot of people would probably say otherwise. Why do you feel like you're not? Do you feel like you're listening to the users and you're listening to the market, basically? Is that
yeah,
why?
Yeah, I mean, my job is to look at what our users are listening to and what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only gatekeeperish part, I guess, is me forecasting what they're going to want, mm-hmm. if you can call it that. But for me, I'm providing a job for a user. I wouldn't call that gatekeeping. For me, it's very much like I'm trying to find the best possible music to engage these users and let them, which is the best thing of this job, is to let them discover their new favourite artist. Mm. That's the best thing going. Like you see moments every week where users are clicking and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like the satisfaction rates are really good. And you can just see them engage with this brand new artist. And for me, that's not a gatekeeper thing. That's me just sort of trying to shuffle it along and go, there you go, have some amazing new music.
Mm.
And when you see that artist, when the stats are really good, do you then find more playlists for that artist? Do you ever test it on one playlist and then go to more?
Yeah. So we have sort of feeder playlists. So that could be just straight down the line, new artist within a genre playlist. So it could be like a new band's playlist or something like that. It could be a sort of low level late night mood playlist that I know works with a young user base. And I've seen previous tracks in that space scale to, say, an R&B playlist and maybe to a hit playlist. So I've always got an idea in the back of my mind of where this track could go. unfortunately, that isn't always the case, but there's always room for these tracks to grow into different spaces. It could be that at Deezer we have global editors and their job is to deep dive into a genre. So it could be a brand new rock band works in my new bands playlist and I speak to the global rock editor and go like, look, this is doing really, really well. Is there anything you can do? And he might pop it in a global rock mood playlist and then maybe another playlist at the back of that. So we work in harmony from a global and local level as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the opportunities are endless. I know that's really cliche, but genuinely, there's so many ways that you can build an artist through playlist.
It's pretty clear that streaming is like one of the most popular ways to listen to music now. Where do you see the future of streaming? Do you see it being more, maybe the platforms become a bit more social? Where do you kind of see it going in the next couple of years?
I think all streaming services are always trying to just improve and predict where the game's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Integration with social is an interesting angle. We're always looking to find different ways to do that, whether that's just sharing your playlists or your songs on your Instagram stories or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we have an algorithmic playlist called Flow, which is tailored to you as a user, but now you can share that with other friends. So you can be like, check out my music taste and share it that way. In terms of outside of that, I think it's just looking at different opportunities, like live streaming has sort of changed it because of lockdown, and it might be that other streaming services are looking into that. I think the users will always dictate where this is going to go. The technology will help, but just understanding what the users want in terms of how they experience music will dictate what we all end up doing in 5-10 years time. But it's always going to involve. If you think about it, streaming's only been going for what, 13, 14, 15 years, something
That's
like that.
That's crazy, isn't it?
And you think about how it's dictating the whole market now.
Mm.
Before that, it was, you know, illegal downloads and everything like that and all of that mess. So, yeah, I think you can see how much it's changed in this short, really a short space of time. It could change again in 5-10 years, for sure. Mm.
Does an artist image affect it at all? Because obviously when I use Deezer, I see the artwork coming up and their pictures. Is there ever a time where you've got a great piece of music, but the artwork just isn't right for the platform?
Apart from, we obviously have sort of explicit content filters and things like that to make sure that it's applicable for all of our users. Apart from that, though, I think as long as you don't try and do anything too messy, you should be fine. Obviously, artwork, and especially from, you know, when you were going, like back in the day when you're picking up a CD or a vinyl, like it's so important because it's like almost like something you want to show off.
Yeah.
When it comes to the streaming world, obviously you want it to look cool, but I think as long as you don't really mess it up, you should be fine. As long as the music's good.
Mm. I think this is probably one of my final questions.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that Deezer has algorithmic playlists.
Yeah.
Do you see that becoming quite an important thing within, especially with Deezer, but all streaming platforms where algorithms are going to take more and more control as people like to see things specifically for them?
I think there's always an advantage of having something tailored directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you can ever underestimate the human touch.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, like, I mean, we're a bit different as a streaming service because we put, for some reason, I still don't understand, my face on the front of the playlist. So you know it's coming from me. But having the human touch and knowing that something's been curated for you, I think has a slightly different experience as opposed to just numbers and data telling you that you're going to like this song.
Mm-hmm.
And also playlists and content can, and streaming in itself can be a bit more nuanced. Like I was saying, where you create a playlist for a certain moment, whether that's sort of, as I was saying, like brunch or, you know, for a Saturday walk with your dog and things like that. An algorithm, I don't think it will ever get to that level, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they will work in harmony and they're very useful. And as alluded to with Flow, like it's brilliant for us. It's just a never-ending soundtrack for a user and they can like and favorite the songs and they can say which ones they don't like and the algorithm just gets better and better over time. But then again, that is just a flat line in terms of what genres you're listening to. When it comes to going, okay, what about this track or sort of what about this moment? That's where we come in, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a good place to end.
Yeah, good place.
Where can people find you online? Is it Instagram, Twitter?
Yeah, Instagram and Twitter is @AdamReed_.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed it, make sure to hit the like button. And if you haven't joined the community yet, make sure to subscribe. And we'll see you in the next one.